Blog Talk Radio.
To be quite honest, Tarver looks like some sort of MMA bank robber who worked a male stripper. Those trunks get me smaller. We're going to change the rating of the show. And is that Heath Slater? Or the chick from Wendy's?
It's a sparkle key.
People, today is Tuesday, March 27th, 2018, and you are making the list here on PW Torch Livecast. I am your host, Pat McNeil, Pro Wrestling Torch columnist, and this is episode 10 of our program. Today we will decide on the 7 most punishing professional wrestling maneuvers. Our phone number, 515-605-9345. The email address, of course, is pwtorchlivecast@gmail.com. Our PW Torch Livecast chat room is open, and you can always send in your Twitter questions to Real Pat McNeil. But first, let's go ahead and meet the man who's going to be helping us compile the list today.
To introduce our guest star, that's what it's time to do. So it really makes me happy to introduce to you.
Ladies and gentlemen, he is the winner of the 2017 Survival of the Fittest in Ring of Honor. And a week from Saturday, he goes into the ring against Tomohiro Ishii at Super Card of Honor 12. Please give a warm live cast welcome to Punishment Martinez. And welcome to the show. Is it Punishment or Mr. Martinez or just Sir?
They all work for me.
Okay, that seems fair. All right, so we are here today, among other things, to compile our list of the 7 most punishing professional wrestling maneuvers, and, of course, we brought in you as the experts. There's a big show a week from Saturday, in case you've been living under a rock. It's called Supercard of Honor 12. It's going to be at the UNO Lakefront Arena in New Orleans, and from what I heard, the building's about two-thirds full and set up for – it's going to be obviously the biggest crowd in Ring of Honor history. Are you excited about that?
Oh, absolutely. You know, we're expecting, you know, that we already have sold more tickets than the company has ever had. So it's very exciting because every year it seems the company keeps growing and we're reaching new eyes and the product keeps getting better. The action keeps picking up. So, yeah, it's exciting times right now.
Yeah, it is. You've come very close already to becoming the Ring of Honor champion, and apparently on the 15th you're going to be back in Defy or Deny, and you have a chance to earn another title shot should you win the 4-way match that headlines that show.
Yeah, I made it known, you know, late last year and going forward that my goal right now is to hold gold in Ring of Honor. So, you know, I'm finally being put in opportunities where I could, you know, have a chance to, you know, complete that goal. So far I've been just so close. And I think that going forward, those goals are going to be realized.
Yeah. I mean, for a couple of years, we've had Ring of Honor people on the show and, you know, everybody from Kevin Kelly to Ian Riccaboni to Carino to Leo Rush was saying, hey, this is the guy, Punishment Martinez. You got to be ready for him when he comes in. And you're here, and you're already making a huge impact. So let's use some of your expertise here and talk about. We're going to come up with our list of the 7 most punishing wrestling maneuvers in order. So let's get your thoughts on what is the on what you think belongs on that list. Just pick one to start with.
If I had to pick one, I usually go with, you know, what move puts somebody down and they stay down. You know, a lot of guys nowadays, just the bodies are different. So guys are just stronger. So I would have to say one in particular is the F5.
The F5. Excellent choice. Now, I mean, that's your signature move is the South of Heaven, which is a chokeslam. But the F5, you know, especially if somebody like, say, a Brock Lesnar does it, that's going to damage somebody. You know, a mere mortal like Michael Cole should be out for a week, you know, but it should be the end of the match more often than not.
Absolutely. You know, I'm trying to keep myself out of it since nobody has ever kicked out of the South of Heaven chokeslam. But,
okay. You
know, like I said, the F5 is a move that I see that he consistently, one time he hits it, and the match is usually over. So that's one of my picks as far as one of the most dominating or punishing finishing maneuvers.
Okay. Let's see. One that comes to mind on my end, the burning hammer, especially when somebody like, Kobashi's not going to execute many more of these, but if executed properly, that should be a move that can put an opponent down and keep it down. But we want to hear from you, 515-605-9345. And I know Punishment is ready to take calls. And I suspect that this from the 814 area code is going to be Ryan from Cumberland, Maryland. Ryan, you are making the list with us. Hello.
I believe I'd like to submit for the list would be the heart punch that Baker used to do, because I've heard that it's even killed people before.
Well, it gave Ray Gunkel a heart attack and he died. So that's a possibility. You could stop somebody's heart that way. Punishment.
Yeah, when I lived in Puerto Rico, you know, some of the biggest stars out there, that was their maneuver, and guys were put down very often from the heart punch. So that's definitely a great forgotten tool. Maybe I should look into that move.
Yeah, I mean, you can already do, you're already capable of doing a lot of things that most wrestlers can't do, even smaller wrestlers. I'm not seeing a lot of guys do the springboard senton off of the middle turnbuckle there.
Yeah, you know, I try to study and practice all different styles of fighting and wrestling. So I always try to add new things to my, like I said, my tool belt, and a heart punch,
right,
like the last caller just pointed out, is definitely a great tool.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So, yes, I mean, study the tapes, and I know Undertaker, when he was in WCW, when he was Mean Mark Callis, that was one of his big moves before he became Undertaker. So, I mean, it's potentially devastating. All right, Ryan, do you have anything else for us?
The question would be, do you feel Baron Corbin has maybe stolen your gimmick by what he's doing, or do you think he's a little bit different than what you're doing?
I think he's his own man. No, I actually like Baron Corbin. I think he's really good in the ring, considering the amount of time he's been in the wrestling business, which a lot of people seem to forget about. You know, he's not a wrestling lifer. You know, he was in the NFL. He was a football guy, and now he transitioned over to something that he also enjoyed watching, and I think he's pretty good at it. I think we're completely different. I think the comparison is that we're tall with tattoos, and I think it stops there. We have a different move set. I think our in-ring presence is different. Our aura is different. He's his own man. I'm my own man. I don't think anybody's ripping anybody off or trying to copy or trying to clone. It's just one of those things where guys have a similar look, and we're going to be bunched in together as, you know, oh, they're very much alike, but I really don't see it.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's the height thing, you know, you guys being about the same size and, maybe coming in at about the same time. I can see that, but I mean, it's clear you have a better hairline than Baron Corbin does.
He does have a sweet intro, though. We'll give him that.
Yeah, no, if years from now you end up in WWE, I'm sure they can come up with a sweet intro for you. You have a sweet intro in Ring of Honor, frankly.
Yeah, I'm proud of my entrance. It was, you know, collaborated with. I had a lot of input in it, and, you know, like, it's something I'm definitely proud of. I'm very much into the theatrics of what we do. So when I get to show off that side, and, you know, the idea of being larger than our character, I'm a big fan of, and I've always been a big fan of guys who've done that before, getting in the mind of your opponent before you even get in the ring. So I appreciate that.
Okay. All right, Ryan, what else do you have for Mr. Martinez?
Yeah, another question I have for Mr. Martinez is, if he was forced to do a mixed tag team match in Ring of Honor, who would he choose as his tag team partner?
They don't have mixed match challenge in Ring of Honor yet, but have you been scouting the Women of Honor? Seen anybody who would be a good fit with you?
Well, that's a good one. Kelly Klein, just because she loves to fight. She loves that fight aspect, and which I could definitely appreciate. You know, she doesn't try to come out and be the smoothest or be the coolest. She just wants to come out and punch someone in the mouth, and I definitely enjoy that.
All right, makes sense. Okay, thanks, Ryan.
Okay, thanks for taking my call.
Okay, absolutely. Ryan with us most Tuesdays. Ryan drops off, and that opens up a line for you.
Bye, Felicia.
At 515-605-9345. For the newcomers to the program, and we do have some every week, you can ask up to three questions, you can make up to three comments, but at the end of the day, we have a rule that,
that's a magic number.
And this is a PG show by orders of my boss.
While we're waiting for our next caller, we'd like to remind you folks calling in to, keep your questions within the boundaries of good taste.
Okay, but we'll get all these written down, and we'll narrow it down to seven later in the hour. But the F5, the Burning Hammer, the Heart Punch, all very viable and potentially very painful moves. Anything? Do you have another one that springs to mind?
Pile drivers.
Particular form of pile driver?
I'm a big, obviously, because of who I am. And anybody who knows me knows who my biggest influence in this business is The Undertaker. So I'm partial to the Tombstone. But I really do think any type of power driver is very much effective. I mean, the idea of dropping somebody in their dome and having all their weight compressed into their brain, it's just lights out.
And at one point that was outlawed in many states. That's that specific move, which is rare.
From what I hear, New Orleans is big against pile drivers.
Mm.
So it's going to be an interesting weekend.
Yeah, because there are a lot of pile driving wrestlers on there. Now, New Orleans next weekend, obviously you have the Super Card of Honor. I mean, there are guys out there who are going to be working, five and six shows that weekend. Do you have any? I mean, you're part of the Festival of Honor and the Super Card of Honor. Do you have any other shows that weekend in the New Orleans area?
Not unless Ring of Honor is planning on running another show. I'm exclusive to Ring of Honor. Unless it's overseas, if it's in the United States, you will only see me participate in a Ring of Honor ring while I'm under contract.
And the reason I'm asking is, Ishii's got that match with Zack Sabre Jr. the day before. And I would think that, I would think this might give you an advantage, if your opponent's tired or if he gets injured the day before. And every year at WrestleMania weekend, there's some guy who gets injured early in the weekend and can't make the rest of his dates.
Yeah, I mean, it's very common. I mean, it's what we do. We're in combat and anything can happen. So I do hope that Ishii comes out unscathed and is ready to go at 100%. Because whether he is or he's not, I'm not going to let up, and I'm not going to be kind to his circumstance. I'm going to come at him as if he's 100 or 10% the exact same way. So for his sake, he better come out unscathed.
All right. Speaking of punishing wrestling maneuvers, there is a move that was unofficially banned by WWE that's only recently been brought back. Used by Seth Rollins. Daniel Bryan used to use it in Ring of Honor. I know Loki used it on occasion. The curb stomp, which, it's pretty straightforward. You get the guy and you use your boot and you drive his head into you drive his face into the mat. I think that, I haven't wrestled in some times, and when I did wrestle on the indies, I don't think it would be fair to actually call it wrestling, but that's pretty painful stuff.
Yeah, definitely. The curb stomp's a move that I've been using for years. Seth Rollins definitely made it a mainstream move when he started using it. But, yeah, it's definitely one of the most dangerous and impactful maneuvers, because you're straight up just driving someone's skull into the mat, which in turn, you know, can rattle your brain, and you'll lose, you know, perception of what's happening, and you basically go unconscious, which is what we try to do and how we try to win matches, by making the person unconscious so we could pin them down. So it's definitely very one of the most effective moves that is not utilized a lot, but mainly because it's outlawed a lot of places, just like pile drivers are.
Yeah, that's true. That's something that something we can see from Punishment Martinez next weekend at ROH Supercard of Honor. Now, you know, Punishment Martinez and Ishii, I mean, it could be the main event, but it's not. It's just a very loaded show. Just looking at it here, you guys have obviously there's a grudge match between Cody and Kenny Omega. That's a big deal. There's Dalton Castle defending the title against Marty Scurll, and you just got done fighting Marty Scurll at the anniversary show.
Yeah, we had a good one, and you know, hey, he did what he had to do to come out on top, and I don't fault him for that. If anything, you know, hey, way to go, getting lucky. We get to face each other again in a few weeks. We'll see. If he's, you know, obviously I'm not going to let the same thing happen twice. But kudos to him. He did what he had to do to get that opportunity. I would have done the same thing given the chance. So it's just a matter of, does Castle, you know, is he going to prepare for it? Knowing what Marty's coming, you know, and what he's capable of doing and what he's willing to do to win the championship, does he have a counter for that? You know, so it'll be interesting to see.
But either way, there's this four-way match on the 15th, and whether it's Dalton Castle or Marty Scurll who wins the title, you're in there with both of them.
Yeah. And at the end of the day, like I said, my goal is to win gold. I really don't care who's holding it and what gold it is. It just so happens this is for the heavyweight. It doesn't matter to me, you know. Gold is gold, and whoever I take it from is just the unlucky victim.
Right. And that's the way it should be. All right, we're due for a short timeout. We're going to come back. There's going to be more of Making the List here on PW Torch Livecast with Punishment Martinez after these words.
So for a tasty treat that's good to eat, try Soylent Green. Soylent Green is people. Soylent Green, made from the best stuff on earth. People.
Do you love wrestling? Are you in or around New Orleans during WrestleMania weekend? Then come check out Ring Rust Radio Live from the Hilton Garden Inn New Orleans Convention Center on Saturday, April 7th from 2 to 4 p.m. local time. Tickets are only $10 and available on PayPal via ringrustradio@gmail.com or on patreon.com/ringrustradio. Don't miss the boys of Ring Rust Radio.
All right, and now page two. If you've been listening for the first 10 episodes of this show, you know that our sponsor has been Harry's, H-A-R-R-Y-S, harrys.com. The finest blades, the finest shaving products, a great shave at a fair price, thanks to Harry's. They've sponsored this show. They sponsored Wrestling Night in America with Greg Parks. And they produce a great product, which is why over 3 million guys have switched to Harry's. Get the blades you want delivered to your door. Founded by Jeff and Andy, two ordinary guys who started Harry's to fix shaving. Harry strips out the unnecessary features and the unnecessary costs and delivers customers one perfect razor at an amazing price. All products backed by a 100% quality guarantee. And a good shave comes down to good blades. Harry's owns the factory. They can deliver amazing quality blades to you for just $2 a blade compared to the $4 or more you're going to pay at your drugstore or Walmart or where have you. Now, Harry's is so confident that you, the PW Torch Livecast listeners, are going to love their blades. They're going to give you a trial shave set for free when you sign up at harrys.com/PWTorch. It's free. Now, you do have to pay for shipping. It's $3 shipping here stateside. But that is that makes for a $16 value, $13 for the kit and the $3 shipping for just $3 when you sign up right now. All you have to do is cover shipping. Get your free trial offer from Harry's today, harrys.com/PWTorch. Do it right now. Go to harrys.com/PWTorch. All right, we're back with more of Making the List here on PWTorchLivecast.com. Pat McNeil joined this week by Punishment Martinez from the Monster Factory and from Ring of Honor, and one of the fastest rising guys in the business, and a guy who also got to work with New Japan for a couple shows, didn't you?
Yeah, last year I was fortunate enough to make the Honor Rising tour, and you know that was a great experience, and I got to be in the ring with guys like Hiroki Goto, Naito, Tanahashi. It was just a crazy experience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you got to be a member of LIJ for a little bit at least, I'm sure that you'd like to go back, and you know, with New Japan doing as well as it is, you've got to think there's going to be some more opportunities there.
Absolutely, I did enjoy my time there, and I would absolutely welcome the opportunity to return and you know just do my thing out there. And as far as you know, teaming with Naito and them, you know. He made the offer, you know, to be a part of LIJ, but I'm my own guy. I do my own thing. So teaming with them was one thing. Being a part of them is a whole nother. And, you know, I just prefer to stay on my own. I feel like surrounding myself with others is just taking an easy road to success.
Well, I understand that, but you also have to keep in mind, you know, of all the gold in Ring of Honor, some of it is the tag team gold, and some of it is the six man gold, and you know, you don't have to. Fortunately, you don't have to like people to team with them.
Well, I have my own legion of followers that I can pick from. So, if I have to choose, you know, because I decide to pursue some other, you know, multi person gold, then I would go that route. I'd rather go that route than to have to be forced to team with somebody that I don't respect.
Well, yeah. I mean, right now you've got another opportunity. You're going to probably have another opportunity at the Ring of Honor title. You know, the World Championship coming up. You wouldn't want to. I'd be focused on that.
Yeah. That's my focus right now. That's my next opportunity. So that's my focus is the world title. You know, if the next opportunity is the TV title, then that's my focus. And down the line.
Okay, so let's see. You're a relatively recent addition to the business here, but you got started in the Monster Factory. I've known a few different people who trained there. Who was responsible for helping you get started?
When I first started, the owner of the Monster Factory was Larry Sharp, and he was basically the one that initiated me into the business. Along with the trainers that he had working for him at the time. And, you know, that was basically my first introduction to pro wrestling was from Larry. And then years later, Larry sold the school, and Danny Cave owns it now, and I stuck with him and the Monster Factory just because I've just been loyal to the actual Monster Factory, you know, name and what it's what it represents.
Okay. Yeah, and I mean, there's matches. There's Monster Factory matches up on YouTube with you in them, including you taking on Abyss, which they're very interesting. Very interesting matchup. Something that maybe your paths will cross again.
Yeah, you never know.
Yeah, exactly. Also, you were in a group called Keystone Pro Wrestling, where you apparently teamed with Matt Riddle, who's doing okay outside of Ring of Honor. He's going to be in New Orleans this weekend as well. I don't think you guys are necessarily going to get together for a couple of drinks, but you chose and got to work with a very talented guy.
Well, QT Marshall, myself, and Matt Riddle were a faction for a short time in independent wrestling. You know, when before any of us worked for, you know, the company that we work for now, and actually, QT Marshall and I are the ones who trained hands-on very much Matt Riddle. So, you know, we developed a sort of at least a combative relationship, especially with my fighting background. You know, Riddle and I were drawn to each other in that aspect where we've done things outside of pro wrestling, more martial arts based, because of that love for just fighting. And we went our own ways and we've, you know, carved our own paths in this business, but we're not close where we're going to be, you know, trading drinks, as you said, but I would love to square up in the ring with him again one day.
Okay. Well, that's probably something that we can see down the line. You talked about you have martial arts training, you have MMA training. Do you think that that's helped you, more than it would have helped to, say, start training at the age of 20? Because, there's you who has had all this experience and then goes into pro wrestling, and then you have these guys who start off as teenagers and they accumulate a lot of wrestling experience at a young age.
It's a case-by-case situation. For me, personally, I'm glad I chose the route that I did, because the martial arts, if you know it, if you watch me wrestle, it very much influences my style. You know, no matter how much I introduce other aspects of pro wrestling into my style, at the end of the day, I fall back on what brought me there, which was my fighting background. And I fall back to my martial arts. You know, I was a two-time national champion in full contact fighting. And from there, I decided to transition over to pro wrestling because I always had a love for it. So it worked out for me. A lot of it was easy transition as far as like the movements and whatnot. Some of it was a little harder because I'm so used to being, you know, standing my ground, where in wrestling we have to move around and, you know, there's a certain fluent-like motions that you have to make that we just didn't in martial arts. So that was a little tricky for me, but everything else came pretty natural because of the fact that I was already used to being in a combat sport.
Right. And if you have that background and your opponent doesn't, that's a big advantage for you.
Of course. It just adds to what I can do and they can't.
Okay, so let's continue on our path of the most punishing wrestling maneuvers. We left off, we did the tombstone and the curb stomp. Do you have another one you'd like to throw in there?
Different variations of bombs, you know, whether it's a power bomb, you have the razor's edge, you have the last ride, blue thunder, just different variations. But the power bomb itself, the move of the power bomb, I always felt like it's a move that whenever you see somebody hit a power bomb, you know it's serious. Whether it ends the match or not, I always love seeing somebody hit a powerbomb because it's always a moment changer in a match.
Mm-hmm. Sort of, it hits from, especially if you hit it from, usually you've got an advantage over the other guy before you do that. But, it can turn around a match quickly if you're going toe-to-toe with somebody and you can hit that. Yeah.
Of course. Me personally, I always enjoy giving somebody a last ride on the apron. It's something that I love doing because I know how much it must hurt them, and that makes me very happy.
I'll just put last ride power bomb. I think that one it looks tougher to take, and it probably is because they're higher up in the air getting forced down. You're gonna at least knock the air out of somebody, possibly knock them unconscious.
Of course. So I'm tall. I'm 6'6", 6'7". And then I lift somebody up, add another 3 feet to that, and now I'm dropping them down on their back and neck. So, of course, that lift up, you have to obviously have the strength, but that extra boost definitely puts a little bit more impact on the already impactful powerbomb.
Okay. Another move that probably deserves some recognition. It's been used by a bunch of people over the years. Probably the most famous one is Misawa, the Tiger Driver 91. The double underhook power bomb. It's a power bomb. It's slightly different from the last ride, but that I think it's different enough that we can throw it in there.
It's just the torque of the body, the way they float up and then going straight down on their spine is definitely. It is a little different, and it does give you a little bit different impact, and it's definitely just as effective, though.
Okay. Now, when you are starting out or when you're training somebody, do you go through, you teach them the basics, but after that, do you start looking for something special that you can do that you haven't seen before, or do you just try out, the big moves and see what works best for me with my style?
It's a combination of both. You know, once you're established, like you know how to have a wrestling match, you know how to how to go in there and you might have a game plan or whatnot. But sometimes you have to say, okay, this is going to be something that I want to work towards because I know if I eventually hit this, is going to do make a significant amount of damage, and I might be able to win a match. Or sometimes when you're in there, the right opportunity presents itself to just do something that just comes naturally out of you. There's many times that has happened to me. You know, people want to talk about my athleticism and how I do things that, you know, cruiserweight or, you know, guys that are just smaller that they do, just like that step up dive that I do. That was just something I just did in the moment. I had never practiced it and never thought of it. But it felt right at the moment and it worked out. And now it's a part of my repertoire because I know that it's successful, you know, and I know I could do a lot of damage with it. So the same thing comes with holds and moves where you can either plan ahead and practice and get the proper technique, or it's just something that it presents itself right there. You're a trained fighter. You can adapt and you execute it on the moment.
Okay. Now, your opponent next week, Tomohiro Ishii, he's got a move of his own, which is the Ishii Driller, which is, you know, it's a variation of a pile driver. It's kind of, you know, it looks pretty devastating. I think I've seen Scott Steiner do something like it at one point. What do you think? Does that belong on the list?
Oh, absolutely. It's although it's along the lines of a power driver, it takes it all to another level because of the way he picks you up. And it's definitely something that I'm going to avoid at all costs. You know, Ishii and I, we're not, if you're coming into the show thinking you're going to watch a Matt Classic or a technical wrestling match, you got another thing coming. There's going to be a fight, and you're going to see a lot of big moves and a lot of heavy shots. And these are the type of moves that I'm expecting to try to get on me. So it's definitely something I'm going to be trying to avoid because I know how dangerous it can be. So, yes, I definitely think that this is definitely a move that can be on the list.
Yeah, and Ishii, a former, in addition to everything else he's won, a former ROH television champion. So that would be, I mean, that would be a big feather in your cap just on the basis of that. I know that the TV title is maybe considered less important, but you know, you're probably going to want to hold both of those at one point or another.
Absolutely, I don't know if I would call it less important. It's just a different. It's just a different goal, you know, where you can strive to
right.
be. You know, it just depends on what championship you're trying to attain at the moment. Obviously, the world champion is the guy who goes on last, you know. So that's the ultimate championship. But I wouldn't call the TV title anything less than what the person is, which is a champion. And so anytime I get the opportunity to face a former champion, if I could beat him, which I know I can, all that's going to do is put me higher on the rankings to get future shots at championships, whether it is a world title or a TV title.
Okay. Maybe the world title, maybe it's fair to say the world title gets more hype than the TV title.
Yeah. It's because, like I said, traditionally the title that goes on last and the one that most speak about, but it doesn't mean that it changes the fact that he's still a champion.
Right. Absolutely not. All right. 515-605-9345 is how you reach us, or pwtorchlivecast@gmail.com. We're going to come back, and we're going to talk more about the great and damaging wrestling maneuvers with Punishment Martinez after this break.
Rich Fan, formerly of the Primetime Friday Livecast with Bruce Mitchell here. I want to tell you about my new show, The Deep Dive with Rich Fan. On Saturdays at 6 p.m. Eastern weekly, join us as we dive into a single subject, some weeks as serious as race, gender, and stereotyping in wrestling, to as fun as which IC champs could fit into another era, and anything in between. We'll have guests from inside and outside the Torch family to cover the subject of the week, and of course your calls and emails. Prior to each episode, I'll put out on social media the subject and some notes. Places where you can also bone up on the subject of the week, if you're so inclined. I'll also devote shows to two of my favorite international promotions, New Japan Pro Wrestling and Progress. All are welcome. No secret handshakes here, because Saturday nights on the livecast are officially all right for diving.
Program note, don't forget, tomorrow night on PW Torch Livecast, immediately following NXT, our NXT specialists hit the air with PWT Talks NXT. your post-game NXT show, only here on PW Torch Livecast. And we're back with Making the List here on PW Torch Livecast, episode 10 of the program. I am Pat McNeil, Pro Wrestling Torch columnist for a long, long time, joined by Punishment Martinez, who is one of the top superstars in Ring of Honor. He's fought the Dalton Castles of the world. He's fought the Marty Scurll's, and he's fighting Tomohiro Ishii at Supercard of Honor 12. Our number 515-605-9345 now. Ring of Honor now has the Honor Club, which is a lot like the WWE Network, which will enable people to, if you're a Ring of Honor fan, you get to follow the product every month and, not have to worry about shelling out, $30 for every time you want to see a pay-per-view. Is that basically how that works?
It's similar, but it is different, where our service, the Honor Club, basically you get to watch every single live event that we have. So anytime we're at a show that's not televised or not live on pay-per-view, you get to watch it for free with your membership. Pay-per-views will still be, there will still be a fee, but they're cheaper. You get a big discount. You also get a discount on clothing. You also get a discount on tickets, and you get to purchase tickets ahead of time. So there's a lot more that goes into just watching old matches or things to watch, live events. It helps you with apparel and merch and tickets and the dates that they're released. In news, you get to hear it first. There's a lot more that goes into the Honor Club, and that is just not just watching on your smart device or TV.
Yeah.
It's a lot more that goes into it than that. So it's definitely a steal for the price, because you get so much pro wrestling. And on top of that, you get to watch all the archived events, which have some of the biggest stars of today before they were the names that they are. So it's definitely a bargain.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And
some
it also
very
includes
best.
Supercard of Honor. Yeah, it includes Supercard of Honor for free if you're a member. So
these are just some
of the things that it gives out, yeah.
That's otherwise you can watch ROH television every week for free on Fight TV or on your local affiliate, and the Ring of Honor pay-per-view is available on Fight TV, obviously, in case you're not a member and you want to check it out, because this is a huge show. In fact, it's on at the same time as the NXT show, which is usually considered one of the big shows of the year. And again, Ring of Honor sets a record, is going to have a record number of people in attendance at the UNO Lakefront Arena, which is king-sized arena there.
Yeah, and something we're proud of, and I'm sure that those guys are going to put on a hell of a show as well. But obviously I'm going to be partial because I work for Ring of Honor. But, we're not just – building guys for somewhere else. We are the product. We are what we are, and we're adamant about putting on the best wrestling on the planet. And like I said, I know these guys are going to put on a great show because they have a lot of guys that came from Ring of Honor. So,
you get
to watch its authenticity and its glory, and alongside with stars of New Japan who are going to come in and partake in Supercard of Honor.
Yeah, among that, Hiroshi Tanahashi is going to be teaming with Jay Lethal against the Briscoes. That's going to be a very, very interesting and somewhat different match, I'd say.
Absolutely.
The Briscoes have that straight ahead style, but I guess it's a question of how well Lethal and Tanahashi are going to mesh.
Right, exactly. But it's kind of hard to deny. You have two of the best pro wrestlers ever teaming up against one of the best tag teams ever. Can't miss match. And that's probably, besides my own match, that's probably the match I'm most looking forward to on the card. I'm a fan of the Briscoes because I just like their rugged fight attitude. As I said before, that's what I'm about. I'm about fighting. And I love that rough, in-your-face, smash-mouth style. And the Briscoes embody that completely. So I love the Briscoes. But then you have Jay Lethal and Tanahashi. Jay Lethal, to me, is the best pro wrestler in the world. He is amazing in the ring, and that's why when I beat him it felt so good, and it was, and I felt like it was such an accomplishment when I beat him in the Survival of the Fittest tournament, because I know who he is and how good he is. Then you have Tanahashi, who's his equivalent in New Japan. It's definitely a toss depending who you think could win. I'm actually, that's, like I said, that's, besides my own match, that's the match I'm looking forward to seeing the most.
Okay, I mean, you're going to be in New Orleans that weekend. Are there any other of the 300,000 shows in town that weekend that you're interested in checking out, or are you just gonna lay low prepare for your deal?
Personally, I'm probably going to lay low and prepare for my deal. But there's so many good shows going on, and so many good cards. And if you're a fan of what we do, this is a perfect opportunity to go out, and venture out, and see new people and learn new names and just, as we always say, support the business, right? Well, this is your chance to do it on every scale possible, whether small or big, because every company or at least most companies are going to be running, and it's fans everywhere. You get to meet fans and people that you have the same love and passion for the business and sharing it. It's just an incredible week that I love that our business puts together basically every year now. You know, it's become, of course, it started off as WrestleMania, but now it's become Pro Wrestling Week, I think. I would call it more that than any one company name, because it's just, that's what it is. It's just a week full of professional wrestling, and it's for the fans, really. So I love this week. While I won't partake in any other show because I'll be preparing, I will be out and about and meeting people and taking it all in and enjoying it.
Well, plus, I mean, with all the networks and streaming services around, you can get home after the weekend and probably see one or two of the shows that you wanted to see anyway. They're all going to, most of them are going to be available. Yeah,
absolutely. And that's, you know, the best thing about today's world is how easily accessible, you know, our product is, and how we're able to enjoy it whenever we want.
Okay, so we're gonna get back to the most punishing wrestling maneuvers. So you've got the F5, the Burning Hammer, the Heart Punch, the Tombstone, Curb Stomp, Last Ride, Tiger Driver 91, the Ishii Driller. Do you have another one?
I mean, it'd be odd if I didn't say a Chokeslam, right?
Well, yeah, it would be kind of weird. Chokeslam it is.
Chokeslam it is, although I wanted to go into some submissions, but it'd be kind of hard to reminisce that I don't choose a chokeslam. A chokeslam is what I use, is what I've been using for years to win matches and to gain the success that I have. And like you said, hey, you know, I'm becoming a name very quickly in Ring of Honor. Why is that? Because of the people that I put down with my South of Heaven chokeslam, which is my variation of a straight-up chokeslam where I sit out and almost create it into a choke bomb.
It's been very effective from, you know, everything I've seen. I think if you're watching on Fight TV, there's you and Shane Taylor on a recent episode, and you know, where you're showing that you can go up against and defeat guys bigger than yourself.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's going to be guys. While I'm considered a big man in this business, I'm not the biggest man. So there's going to be a lot of guys that are either my size or bigger, and it comes with how we were talking about, you know, practicing and deciding when to do moves and whatnot. You know, if you're going to pick something that's going to put your opponents down, you have to pick something that you should be able to do to just about anybody. And, you know, obviously a chokeslam is a risk because there's always going to be somebody bigger, you know.
Yeah.
And can you do it to everybody? And so far, so good. I haven't met anybody that I have not been able to do it to yet. So, and everybody that I've been in the room with that I've used it, like I said, successfully. 100% success rate as far as people, whether they can kick out or not from my South of Heaven chokeslam.
Okay. Well, I guess I should come up with a submission move. And speaking of ex-Ring of Honor guys who have been in the news recently, the crossface or the yes lock, it strikes me as a pretty pretty solid submission hold. You know, especially if you can lock the arms underneath the, you know, sort of underneath the nose and get them across the chin.
The idea of trapping the arm, which gives you torque on not just the arm, but shoulder, the pieces, and then yanking back on the neck, which puts pressure not only on your neck, but your lower back, depending how far back you jump. It's such a painful move on different areas of your body. Most people don't realize that, but it's really a painful move that seems like, hey, why can't you just get out of it? You can. Once you, when your body starts feeling a certain amount of pain, it usually tends to freeze up and you can't move. It's almost like you're paralyzed. And the only thing you can do is give up because you just want that pain to stop. So the cross face or yes lock or a bell lock, whatever people want to call it, is definitely one of the most effective moves, submission holds that I've ever have felt, put it that way.
Okay. Let's see. We got letters. Let's go to the mailbag, pwtorchlivecast@gmail.com, where we're, this is going to be Sean from Chicago, who writes, with Daniel Bryan returning to action, where does this leave Roman Reigns? I'm sure he may be pushed with a giant contrast between him and Daniel Bryan. How long will WWE go with Reigns before the WWE Universe makes it obvious whose yard they want it to be? I don't see it that way. I suspect that because there's Raw and SmackDown, that Roman Reigns is going to be on the Raw brand and Daniel Bryan's going to be on the SmackDown brand, and they're different guys and they're there to serve different roles. But I could be wrong about that. I know a few years ago people were very upset about Roman Reigns winning the Royal Rumble instead of Daniel Bryan.
Well,
I don't know.
The thing about the world we live in, there's always going to be somebody complaining about something.
And
the way I see it is, you could have people saying, well, what if, and if we want this, well, guess what? There's somebody in that picture that has a say-so, and that's Roman Reigns himself. And if he wants to be the man, he's going to work as hard as he can to be the man and stay in his position. So, and there's not a damn thing a fan or Daniel Bryan can do about it if he busts his behind hard enough to maintain his spot. So that's what it comes down to. What does he want and how hard is he willing to fight for it? And at the end of the day, you could be happy, you could be sad, you could be mad, but it's just the way it is, if that's what he's going to, if that's his goal and he's going to make sure he does everything possible to achieve it, there's nobody going to stop him. And that goes for anybody in this business. And if Daniel Bryan wants his spot back, he wants to be on top of it and be the number one guy again. Well, then he's got a long, long road ahead of him to catch up to Roman Reigns.
Right. And from everything I know about Daniel Bryan, he is one of the things people like about him is he's the last guy who's going to complain about, going to complain about somebody else being favored over him. He just works as hard as he can, which is
absolutely
how he got back into the ring in the first place.
That's why he's successful.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I just want Daniel Bryan to come. I mean, now that he's back, I want him to stay healthy and I want him to do well and not get hurt. Yeah, that's what it boils down to. All right, we are due for
Bryan.
What's that?
Oh, go ahead. No, go ahead. We've got to go on break.
Yeah, we are going to go on break. But maybe you'll get to face Daniel Bryan someday. I hope that he's healthy long enough. Punishment.
Daniel Bryan in our business is a good thing. And especially if he's performing in the ring. And if you have the privilege and honor of facing him, then it's even more special to that one individual. So, yes, I would love for him to remain healthy and remain competing in our business, and I would love to face off with him one day in the ring.
All right, and we'll have more as Making the List continues here on PW Torch Livecast after this timeout.
Oh, and now for a word from I forget. I think they sell paint.
PW Torch Livecast listeners, I'm Wade Keller, and I urge you to be sure that you're also subscribing to the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Podcast at Podcast One and the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Post Show. All you have to do is search Wade Keller in Apple Podcasts or whatever podcast app you use on your Apple or Android device to subscribe to both feeds. There's a red brand covering Raw and SmackDown every Monday night and Tuesday night, and it's downloadable a couple hours after the show. And then there's also the Wade Keller Podcast Flagship Edition on Thursdays with a rotation of co-hosts, including Jason Powell from ProWrestling.net, Todd Martin, Bruce Mitchell, and others. And then there's our Interview Friday edition. Every Friday, I'm joined by a guest who has worked in the wrestling business, including ex-WWE creative team members like Kevin Eck talking about Drew McIntyre,
Drew was a young guy, and did it go to his head, and did he walk around like he was the chosen one? He did, and I was frank with him, and I said, Drew, just so you know, this is how they view you.
And Podcast One's own Christian Harloff talking about his days working for WWE and Vince McMahon specifically.
As far as their perception of him, I mean, he's the king. He walks in, and it's just, you can feel it. I mean, if the force was real, you would feel the force powering into the room when he enters.
And pro wrestlers, including NWA World Heavyweight Champion Nick Aldis, also known as Magnus, talking about the challenges facing Ronda Rousey as she transitions from MMA to WWE.
Think about, like, the press conference and stuff like that. They just, someone tells them, like, all right, now it's your turn to go out there, right? I'm sure if you ask Ronda, she'd probably say this moment is the result of hundreds of people's work, meticulous preparation and planning and timing and everything. And now suddenly it's like, go. And that can be very overwhelming.
Just search Wade Keller on Apple Podcasts or anywhere else you listen to podcasts.
All right, this is Making the List here on PW Torch Livecast, brought to you by Harry's, harry's.com. And I'm Pat McNeil. Punishment Martinez is our guest. Next week, the Tuesday before WrestleMania, we have a guy who's going to be in New Orleans pretty much all of WrestleMania week with beautiful women athletes on his arm everywhere. That's going to be Dave Prazak, the guy in charge of Shimmer Women Athletes, who has, Shimmer has hosted many of the best professional wrestlers in the world, including Asuka, including Beth Phoenix, including Bayley, and we'll be talking to him about his big show next weekend and all of the and the women's wrestling revolution, which he helped start. So join us then. All right, we have Punishment Martinez. We have about 10 moves chosen, and I think we've hit some of the big ones. And now we have to go sort through them, rank them from 7 to 1. Do you have a particular starting point in mind, sir?
Man, we got some good ones. I'm not sure where to start. I'll leave that up to you. You're the expert. I'll leave it up to you.
Well, you're also an expert, and you're very kind. I'll run through them again. The F5, the Burning Hammer, the Heart Punch, the Tombstone Piledriver, the Curb Stomp, the Last Ride Powerbomb, the Tiger Driver 91, the Ishii Driller, the Choke Slam, and the Yes Lock. That's all. Those are very good, actually. This is me, but I'm thinking the Tombstone might have to go at number one, just because of the. I mean, you can think back on particular guys who've gotten hurt from it, and you know you don't like to see that, but very punishing, very devastating.
You don't have to twist my arm on that one. The Tombstone Powder, as I said, that's one of the most effective moves in the history of pro wrestling. You know, so, okay. And there's a reason why it's outlawed in so many places. So, yeah,
yep.
I'm on board with that.
All right. So, where do you think belongs at number two?
Just because of its effectiveness. It'd be weird to say that the F5 hasn't beaten, haven't been a dominant move for years now, really.
Yeah.
Where I've seen everybody, and it's Brock Lesnar's F5, to be specific.
Right.
I've seen guys hit him with their best, and he gets up, and then he hits them one time with his best, and just guys don't get up. So it'd be hard to see discount his maneuver.
Well, let's see. Yeah. Okay. John Cena, Triple H, The Undertaker, Kane, Braun Strowman. Yeah. There's a pretty long list of guys he's put away with that. So.
Yeah, it's like a who's who.
Yep. Very much so. All right. Number three. For so many reasons, I'm leaning towards The Last Ride.
Yeah, I'm cool with that too. Anything that I have in my repertoire that you want to put high up on the list, to me. It's definitely another maneuver that it doesn't fly under the radar because it is a big move and
right.
It's used by a lot of big stars. But you see when it's one of those moves that it's a game changer when it's hit, even if it's not the end of a match, you know, it's a special moment. And I just saw Ibushi hit one through a table on one of the Bucks, at a Stone Style Evolve. So it's definitely a move that guys know that when they need something impactful, it's definitely a move that can be done, and it will be effective 100% of the time.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, some, I mean, you know, it's one of those things where some moves just, you know, they gain in, you know, the right guy uses them and so other wrestlers start picking up on it and it gains in popularity and some moves after a while just sort of disappear and then only to get brought back again because, after all, this is professional wrestling. Let's see, do you have anything? Yep, number four, what are your thoughts?
The Burning Hammer is definitely something
okay.
that... It's another one of those moves that it's not allowed in a lot of areas and a lot of companies
yeah.
because of the danger that it creates, where it goes past just knocking somebody out momentarily. So it's up there with the pile driver as far as the danger in it and effectiveness.
Right. Okay, another great one. For number five, move that you know. Got its share of it's recently been a popular move and definitely has people wanting to ban it. I'm going to say the curb stomp.
Yeah, I'm there with you. It's definitely another one of those moves like we talked about that it can do a lot more damage than just winning a match. And
right.
I know that most moves that we do, especially finishing maneuvers, can cause more damage than just winning a match. But there's some
yeah.
that are just higher on that danger scale. And a curb stomp is definitely one that's borderline right there.
Mm-hmm. It takes you into the danger zone, as Randy Savage used to say. All right. What are your thoughts on number six?
I'm going to have to go with my own, you know, a chokeslam.
Just
because
yeah.
it's also a move that's been used for so many years by so many different guys. And it's usually a big man move, but I've seen others do it. You know, where you've seen Shane Helms
right.
and a lot
yeah.
of different guys that, yeah, it depends on who they're in the ring with. If they're strong enough to pull the move off, I mean, the idea of yanking somebody up by their throat and then driving them into the mat while trying to stop the oxygen going to their brain, the idea of the move is a very punishing move. And that's why I chose it. Also because of, like, you know, like I said, anybody who knows anything about me knows, you know, who my inspirations are, and these guys use the move very, very well.
It's very visceral. If you're at ringside or you're in the front row and you see somebody hitting that move, you know that it's going to take a while to sort of recover your faculties, shall we say. All right.
Of course.
And let's see. Number seven. Got a few of these left. I'm going to go with the yes lock, if you agree with that. And you know, we've talked
yeah,
about the various reasons why that's a great submission move. Okay. And see, we have another number of moves that were on the list that we didn't get to. Okay, the bonsai drop, well, that tends to work better. That tends to be more painful if you have a 600-pound guy like Yokozuna doing it to you. There aren't not many of those around today, these days, but yeah.
Exactly.
Definitely.
So if that move is just, you need to be a big man to do it, or else you kind of falls flat. You know, where if I'm in the ring with Jonathan Gresham and he drops that on me, it's probably not going to be too effective.
Yeah. All right.
You know,
the Shattered Dreams, which is basically Dustin Rhodes getting a running start and kicking you right in the jimmy. That's I don't know if that's a move wrestling maneuver per se, but that's always going to be bad news.
Yeah, a low blow is a low blow, and there's a reason why it gets you DQ'd. But like you said, I mean, I guess it's effective. I mean, that's how Marty was able to beat me, you know, it was the low
yeah.
blow. Had he not been able to connect with that, he'd probably still be unconscious. So, you know, I don't know if I call it a wrestling maneuver, though, or a finishing maneuver.
Yeah, well, it's painful. Let's just go with that.
Yeah.
Finn Balor, the coup de grace, Loki's done that too, the double stomp off the top rope. It's the same
yeah.
principle as the heart punch, you know. Basically, because
it's all that pressure coming down on your chest plate, causing almost your heartbeat to skip a beat, which will affect the oxygen that's flowing through your body, which might discontinue to your brain, which may cause you to lose consciousness.
Yes. Yes. Side effects may include losing consciousness. All right. And I guess in honor of Hurricane Helms, who's been on the show before a couple times, the Vertebraker or the Gringo Killer. You have your head the wrong way, and you take that. That's all she wrote, I think.
Yeah. Another one of those crazy moves that I don't know. You know, who was the first person to think it? I mean, it probably was him. I don't know what was going through his head when he came up with it, but it's definitely something creative. And it's one of those drivers, you know. So anytime you have a driver type of move, it always causes that, you know, room for danger.
Right. Okay. Well, that's a very good list for this time around. And we do want to talk about Supercard of Honor coming up Saturday, April the 7th, 7:30 Eastern, 6:30 Central from New Orleans. Punishment Martinez, Tomohiro Ishii, a tremendous match. Also a few other minor matches on there, like the Briscoes against Jay Lethal and Hiroshi Tanahashi. Dalton Castle for the tag titles, Dalton Castle defending the ROH title against Marty Skrull. Cody Runnels versus Kenny Omega. SoCal Uncensored versus the Young Bucks and Flip Gordon in a six-man tag team match. Spoiler alert. And there's more to announce. There's also the finals of the women's Women of Honor tournament. It's going to be an incredible night. So if people are not able to go, how do they subscribe to the Honor Club Punishment?
You just go to ROHWrestling.com and you can sign up right there, and all the information, everything you need to know about the Honor Club and anything related to Ring of Honor, you can find right there on the website. It'll have all the instructions.
Okay. Well, it's great to finally talk to you. I mean, everybody has talked about what a talented wrestler you are, and I've gotten to see you, you know, in action, as we're going to do next week. And as you can do, if you subscribe to the Honor Club, go through all of the Punishment Martinez wrestling catalog. Tell people how they can keep tabs on you via social media.
At ROH Punishment on Twitter and Instagram, you can find me easily. And Pro Wrestling Tees, you could find my stuff there as well. Pro Wrestling Tees, Punishment Martinez. So you could keep up with merch. You could keep up with all my information and shows, and you know, and if you're gonna hear me speak like your show today, you could find out all that good stuff on my social media and see what my thoughts are going in from day to day basis as far as who do I want to crush and what my thoughts are on my opponents and whatnot.
Well, we're glad that you don't want to crush us, and we're rooting for you. You know, we want to see an American, you know, New York, Puerto Rican star make good here, at Supercard of Honor. You know, it's been great talking to you, and I have a feeling you're gonna do very well. Just a hunch that I have.
Much appreciated. It was my pleasure.
Okay, well, thank you. And by the way, thanks to all of you who listen every week and who support making the list here on PW Torch Livecast. Of course, Supercard of Honor coming up. We'll have Dave Prazak from Shimmer on next week. Say, kids, you know, some of you don't get enough wrestling audio in your diet, and you probably want some more exclusive podcasts, including the podcast that Jim Valley and I do, the Wayback Playback, including the Bruce Mitchell Audio Show, including The Fix with Todd Martin, some of the very best wrestling podcasts in the business. Or you might additionally want to get these podcasts ad-free on part of your RSS feed. Well, you can get all that when you become a VIP member here at pwtorch.com. And here to tell you about that is our friendly announcer. We'll talk to you next week.
PW Torch Livecast listeners, this show can be ad-free and commercial-free with a VIP membership. VIP members not only enjoy all 7 episodes of the PW Torch Livecast with no commercials and the ads and plugs edited out, but they also get ad-free additions to the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling post shows and the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling podcast. Also, part of a VIP membership and exclusive shows such as the Every Single Day Wade Keller Hotline, the 3 times a week Bruce Mitchell Audio Show, including a new weekly mailbag edition with Bruce, The Fix with Todd Martin that I also host, post-pay-per-view roundtables that I host, and other shows on specific topics, including the new Talking Honor podcast with Lola and Harley discussing the latest in ROH, including a review of the latest TV show. And now we are proud to announce that Alan Cunahan, known as Alan4L, has brought his talents to PW Torch after many years at The Observer, and there's a lot of excitement about his new weekly show called Alan4L's Pro Wrest Paradise, with the best coverage of New Japan, all of Japan, the UK indie scene, including the US indie scene. So be sure to become a PW Torch VIP member for as little as $8.25 a month on average, and have multiple new VIP exclusive and ad-free podcasts every day on customizable feeds on your iPhone and Android device. For more information and our sign-up form, go to pwtorch.com/govip. And you'll find out what else comes with VIP membership, including a weekly newsletter, over 1,500 back issues of the Pro Wrestling Torch weekly newsletter that started it all, ad-free access to our mobile and desktop sites, and more. Full lineup, full details, and the sign-up form at pwtorch.com/govip.
Another happy ending from the good people at Jimmy James Incorporated.
But the most amazing thing to me is I get paid for doing this.
Oh no, it's the cops!
Everyone, be cool.
I got a jail for less than you.
Jail's no fun, I'll tell you that much.
How you been?
Once. In Monopoly.